Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. Today on Piano Jazz, our guests are the two masters of irony and erudition, Steely Dan, whose music encompasses the entire realm of hipness, as well as being melodic, swinging, sly, subtle, all of those things, a musical Rubik's Cube, and they're here on Piano Jazz to sing and play everything from Asia to Ellington. And it's just great to have Donald Fagen and Walter Becker here. And not only that, we have Keith Carlock on drums and Jay Lenhart on bass. How are you guys?
Hi.
Hello there.
Hi. It's great to have you here. Thank you for taking the time to come over and join us on Piano Jazz.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm thinking of all kinds of things I want to ask you, but first I guess we should do a little something so that people can hear how we're all managing to play together. And Donald or Walter, what do you think we should start out with?
Well, we were thinking of starting with an Ellington tune that appeared on an album with Coleman Hawkins, kind of a Coleman Hawkins meets Ellington album, and it's called Limbo Jazz.
That's wonderful. I never heard of that. Is it? I mean, did Duke actually wrote that?
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't know how I missed it, but I did. But anyway, it'll be nice to hear it now. Limbo Jazz. Okay. I thought I knew so many Duke Ellington tunes, and that's one that has escaped me. I'm really thankful to know that that is yet another tune to add to our repertoire.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't remember it being on any other album except that Coleman Hawkins meets Ellington album, but it's a good tune.
Well, you were very big at picking up albums, weren't you, when you were a teenager? You must have heard a lot of stuff besides Duke and Walter, too.
You know, when Donald and I met at college, we discovered that by looking at one another's record collections that we had been listening to the same jazz radio station, which was a jazz radio show, I should say. That was Mort Figa's show on WEVD.
Oh, Mort Figa, yeah, now in Florida.
Yeah, that's right. And we had, you know, the same basic repertoire of as listeners. And those were the days when you could get three albums for $5 sometimes, you know, and so we had a few of them.
But it's so amazing. How did the actual writing of songs grow out of that? Or did you both learn to play? Did you take guitar lessons and piano lessons?
I'm mostly self-taught. I took, you know, scattered piano lessons and then had some theory in college and so on, but and also a summer at the Berklee School in Boston. But I think both of us are pretty much self-taught.
And you both went to Bard, did you?
That's right, Bard College in New York State. That was our alma mater. And when I got there, I discovered that there was, I figured that the place would be crawling with musicians, but it turned out that there was only a handful, and Donald was in all of the bands of all the different styles of music.
I would crawl between from one band to another.
He was crawling from band to band, so I figured I should join up with him, you know.
You'd be playing Dixieland one day and Bebop the next.
That sort of thing, although more likely it would be some sort of avant-garde, you know, fake it type of a band.
Yeah, I think actually the first time I saw you perform, Donald, you were playing, was it the Star Spangled Banner or God Bless America on an alto saxophone?
Yeah.
And you had on a leather jacket with black feathers attached to
it. Yeah, and that was before Jimi Hendrix played his version of the Star Spangled Banner.
Well, that sounds like a good beginning. I hope there's some pictures of that.
Sadly,
probably not.
If there were, we would have bought them up long ago.
But you know what I'd love to know is, like, how did you start to decide to write songs, and where did that come from?
Well, we met at school and realized we had a lot of the same interests in jazz and also other things, and literature and, humor. And we were had both been science fiction fans, and I think a lot of sort of a package of things that a certain subculture used to be interested in the early 60s.
Yeah, we felt we were somewhere in the middle of the rich mainstream of, you know, the cultural zeitgeist. Of course, as time went on, we were disabused of that notion. But, you know, there was a lot of stuff in the late 60s, a lot of cultural energy involving, you know, humor and, sort of...
You certainly have plenty of that.
Yeah, and so we thought that, you know, why not combine all of these things, jazz, science fiction, humor, and... am I leaving anything out?
Rhythm and blues.
That's
really, and rock and roll in one, one package, and then...
Well, it certainly all came together, didn't it? Goodness.
Eventually it did. We had a little problem in the beginning with our songs being sort of too funny for their own good. Our early efforts were sort of, as I recall...
They were just too hilarious.
We were just too hip. That's the problem. we were just too hip for the times.
Too hip for the room.
Yeah. They were so funny, we were laughing so hard we couldn't even demonstrate them to anyone, you know?
That's right.
Well, have those gone by, or are you still including them in your presence?
Most of them never made it to a, actual professional recording. You know, there's some demos floating around, but...
Boy, I'd love to hear those. Mm. Meanwhile, what have we got up? I want to hear more. I'm dying to hear more of something.
Yeah, what's...
What's... Donald, you seem to be the...
What's going to be?
Okay, we're going to do a tune. This is off our album, Asia. We're going to try to do it with a small band, but excellent band. So we're going to give it a shot. It's called Josie.
Okay.
A one, two, three. We'll have an idea usually for either melody or lyrics or sometimes both.
Yeah, that's what I've wondered. And, like some of the songs, it seems like the melody has to kind of wriggle in there sometimes, like the words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the it isn't like a 4/4 time or anything, but it's amazing how everything works. Everything seems to...
Well, I think... that's true. I think it is. That's one of the hardest things is to, you have to kind of pry the music open and shove the lyrics in sometimes. You know?
We sort of decided at some point that we were going to try and write these little stories, little short story kind of things for the lyrics for these songs, so as not to have to write the same kind of pop songs.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz and NPR.